Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Marvel Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the Marvel Universe.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites! Welcome back to our 23rd show of the year, 2015, 40 in all. 40 shows today. This is our 40th show.
Yeah!
It's perfect.
40, it's perfect, because it's the Comic-Con show, spectacular.
It's a big show.
We are the Marvel Movie News, coming to you live from the Danger Room, where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News, or find us through the Popcorn Talk Network, YouTube.com/Popcorn Talk Network, or you can find us through their Popcorn Talk's website, popcorntalknetwork.com.
I like what just happened to your voice.
I was going
to
say, that was really impressive.
What did,
what did I do?
It got very, light and fluffy.
Aw, ethereal. I like to say ethereal.
Ethereal, yes.
Yeah.
Or fluffy.
Fluffily ethereal. Follow us on Twitter at MarvelNewsPTN or on Facebook /Marvel News Show. Like us, comment, make fun of us, do whatever you need to do. Just keep it positive and light. You can make fun of us and still be positive and light. We'll take that.
That's fair.
You'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I already have a favorite comment. Placco looks different.
She does.
Yeah, you look exactly like Meredith.
What happened to the red hair, Meredith?
I don't know.
Comic-Con was just a game changer.
I'm going through a transition, really.
Comic-Con was...
Twinsies.
Yeah, Comic-Con was good to you.
Getting better all the time.
And Katie Dover loves your freaking shirt, Koi. That's the first thing I said to him when he came in, Katie Dover.
Oh, dude, Hot Topic's killing it.
Right?
I'm like,
I know, right?
I'm like a 14-year-old again. I'm in there all the time.
Yeah,
I
hate how good they're doing.
The cycle. We're like back,
we're back into it being awesome.
Yeah, we're
it's
back.
It's got her universe.
Like, I have Hot Topic cash I utilize, which is a thing I never thought I'd say again. It's
wow.
Really pleasant.
They're on like a 15-year cycle where every 15 years they're like, yeah, you know what? They're okay.
You know what? JNCO jeans? Why not? Saturday.
JNCO. Hey, if you guys will tweet out a link to our show with a message telling people about the live chat, Jonathan in the booth will retweet you. Say hi, John Arvis.
Hola!
John Arvis is apparently from Mexico. I'm Matt Key, at the Matt Key. We're joined by Koi today.
I'm Koi Jandro, at Koi Jandro, COYJANDREAU. We've gotten rid of one of them. There's only one fake me left.
Oh, there's one fake me.
There were two. Now there's one.
I only have one fake me.
There were
really?
Two fake me's, and they would compete at times.
Oh!
Now there is but one.
Now
I'm
I want another one.
Highlander. It's like that Jet Li movie. I'm ticking them out.
Yeah. We've also got Sisler joining us. He's back on the couch with us today.
Hey, everyone.
Do you have anything you want to pitch? I know you've got your podcast that you're starting back up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have a show again. So, yeah, go to iTunes, Crazy Sexy Geeks. We're back. The first episode went up right before Comic-Con, and the next episode goes up later today. And it's just sort of like a Star Talk on a fictional basis, where you just jump into different fictional topics. First episode is artificial intelligence, and a psychologist and I talk about the hopes and fears and things we have revolving around that. Second episode is Gwenda Bond, who wrote the YA book Lois Lane Fallout. And we just talk about how amazing Lois Lane is and why she still matters.
I would like to purchase one of those shirts that you're wearing.
Yeah, we're looking into that.
We've also got at the desk today the effervescent Jenna Bush.
I like being called effervescent. Hello.
Are
we plugging stuff now?
Well, let me introduce your boy, Jeffrey Henderson.
Yeah, thank you.
I love you.
All right, so we've got Jeffrey Henderson. Now, you may flex stuff.
Oh, okay. Sorry. On Twitter, at Jenna Bush, BUSCH, like the beer, not the president. I can do this really fast because I did four panels at Comic-Con. I have a book coming out that I contributed to called Star Wars Psychology, Dark Side of the Mind, that comes out in October. And I co-host a show, Most Craved, and I'm the founder of Legion of Leia. Follow us everywhere, and please like us.
Oh, and actually, we have a book out that you can get at Barnes & Noble right now. Along with the Psychology of Star Wars. The same series is Psychology, The Walking Dead Psychology, which I co-authored a chapter.
That's cool.
Yep. It's really cool.
It's a way fun book.
Jeffrey, do you want
to... I've already been insulted in the chat room. Nice.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a chat room if
efficient,
it wasn't.
Sir.
PlanetHenderson.com, at Planet Henderson. Anything else I'd want to say would go through there anyway. So just go and...
And you are a storyboard artist, correct?
Among other things, yeah.
Yeah. All right. But so, good to have you.
He draws
Thank
all
you very
things.
Much.
So, as you may have noticed, Meredith is out sick, but...
Feel better, Meredith.
She's got the techno-organic virus, I think.
Oh.
I think next week she'll probably come in with a cyber arm.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, that sounds great, actually.
Yeah.
No, I know, right? Like, Cable's always like, it's a curse. No, it's not.
I feel like I should have her cough on me or something.
Yeah.
That's a really weird thing that I just said.
Yeah. Or a sexy thing, depending on what you're into.
Yeah, I will politely refrain from comment.
That's probably best.
So we've got some apocalypse news today. We've got Deadpool. We got some big Deadpool stuff to talk about. Agent Carter, Spider-Man, new Fantastic Four trailer to talk about. But first, we're going to run over to Marvel Studios real quick, just to jump through Marvel Studios before we get to the bigger news. With Black Panther, a couple weeks ago, she said she's Ava DuVernay has decided not to do the Black Panther film. She was in talks. As she said, I'm not signing on to direct Black Panther. I think I'll just say we had different ideas about the what the story would be. Marvel has a certain way of doing things, and I think they're fantastic, and a lot of people love what they do. I loved that they reached out to me. So, in the end, it comes down to story and perspective, when we just didn't see it eye to eye. It's better for me to realize that now than to cite creative differences later.
That's a really interesting, her turns of phrase about, like, yeah, not really, and I didn't want to cite creative differences later. Sounds like that was not a good meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes me sad, because I think she'd be really great for that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, but... It's I think it's smart of her and of the studio to be like, hey, you know what? This isn't working. This is what we want to do. You're not willing to do A, B, and C, so... And we got to find someone else.
And making a statement, I think, actually was a really good idea.
I agree.
Especially after it was all but locked. We were all like, yeah, it's almost her. And then, other than the Edgar Wright thing, I mean...
That's true.
Yeah. Most things are.
Yeah.
9 years of working on a movie, and then...
Go on.
I digress.
I thought it was particularly interesting with what she didn't say, too. There's a lot
which
of...
Which is?
Well, just about a lot of the allusions to stuff without any payoff, where you can imagine kind of between the lines, you know, she's a really talented filmmaker, and Black Panther, there's a lot of stuff that inherently kind of goes along with that if you're going to make a first Black Panther movie, and I can see just the Marvel guys going, ooh, no, ixnay on the radical stuff. No, we got Avengers 3 to worry about. What are you, crazy woman? You know? So...
And I think that's become more and more of an issue with the Marvel Studios films as we've gotten bigger and bigger and bigger into the plans. Why Jon Favreau stayed for two movies because no one really gave a crap about Iron Man the first time. And if you threw in Captain America's shield in the background, that was just a joke.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They decided to leave it. And Iron Man 2, though, they really are deep into their Phase 2, Phase 3 plan, and everyone's putting on... we've talked many times about certain movies that have suffered... Because the studio's telling them, you need to include these 12 things.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so I think this is where I'm getting worried Marvel is reaching sort of a critical mass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm worried it's becoming more and more. I mean, it's becoming a studio in the negative sense of the word instead of the positive sense. Like, the creative freedom of Marvel is what allowed them to become this empire. And now that they're an empire, I'm worried that they're an empire. And, like, I just feel like the freedom in the movies doesn't feel as for the fans as it does for the profit. And the profit's already built in because of the fans. So it's weirdly, like, counterproductive. But it's still Marvel. I'm still in.
You've got all the money.
Yeah.
You have all it. All of the money.
I mean, they've got that sweet Guardians money still.
And they've got... It's crazy how they handle, like, the upfront, like, contracts and stuff. It's a very different way to do it. And they do it really well. I just don't want it, power to corrupt...
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's kind of that, like, what I feel like what happened with George Lucas, where he's like, fight the Empire, fight the man, we're going to do Star Wars, it's amazing. And then he does the prequels, and he's like, I just want
money. Money's pretty cool.
Money's really cool. Dice. I am the Empire, so.
Yeah. And after what Joss Whedon said about working on, I mean, that wasn't quite as veiled as what Ava said.
And what we saw wasn't quite as veiled.
No.
Yeah. I mean, Age of Ultron is as good as it was and as strong as it was in a lot of ways. It still had, like, that studio movie feel. And it's the first
that
one
vision,
to have
though.
That.
Yeah, I think
that
so.
That vision, though. That vision, though.
That was
amazing. There's no doubt that Marvel delivered on Age of Ultron. It was a great movie. It was a lot of fun. It had a lot of great parts. But there was a sort of difference of tone to it.
Netflix miniseries, Doctor Strange Vision, now.
Oh, I'm in. Totally in.
Do it.
All you have to say is
Doctor
Strange. Every
time Sizzler's on, he's just like, Netflix miniseries. Like, Spider-Verse, this.
Spidey 2099, now.
Dude.
You love that
Netflix,
though.
I would love 2099 as a...
They're serialized characters. They work better when you have the space.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Daredevil's one of my favorite things they've done.
Because
of the great nature. I started rewatching it this week.
Yeah, it's so good.
Let's do that.
People get so mad when we bring up Daredevil. Have you noticed that on the internet?
Do they really?
No. Everyone's like, they are always happy about Daredevil and always mad at Age of Ultron. I'm like, maybe we have a reason.
Well, yes.
Hey, we're all allowed our opinions.
Stop sharing opinions, Matt.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. I'm a robot.
If I want your opinion, I'll
amazing.
Give it to you.
Yeah, I wrote an opinion piece the other day, and someone was like, you know, but that's just your opinion. I'm like, yeah.
No,
that's an opinion piece.
I wrote it, and it said I in it. But, mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway, so let's... Black Panther, we're happy and we've talked about...
I'm still hopeful. I'm still looking forward to the Black Panther.
Do we have any directors that we'd like to see?
You had one last night.
We were just talking about this, and I said, you know who I would really like to see do Black Panther?
I don't.
Spike Lee.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's such a bold...
Wow, that is bold. Yep.
I would watch the hell out of that.
But here's the thing,
that.
Like, yeah. And right. I love Spike Lee, but, you know... People forget because he's become kind of this archetype or this icon. Mm-hmm. The guy can direct his ass off. I mean, like the non-radicalized stuff that he did, like Inside Man was great. Mm-hmm. And then even a lot of this stuff that was really pushing the envelope, that has never been done applied in any kind of superhero or genre context at all. Yeah. And that could be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it could be.
Like that.
I would love to see either Soderbergh or the director of the first season of Luther. Someone that can handle,
because
I picture Black Panther as like the James Bond of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and it is a bit. You're right.
Yeah, like just international man of mystery, but like with awesome.
He's Austin Powers.
Yeah,
I like it.
That tone would be something.
So
but I think doing something like Luther-esque or even Soderbergh, who has that very very specific tonality, would be the way to go for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know they were also talking about the director of that film that just came out, Dope.
Dope was amazing.
Which, I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen
that
yet.
Please, Dope, and that guy should direct everything.
Yeah.
That was such
a... The rumor a few weeks ago was that they were also talking to him at the same time they were talking to Ava.
Dope
so
and Me Are on the Dying Girl are two of the best things I've seen in a long time, and they helped me feel better about Terminator existing, because that movie broke my cinematic heart.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
My soul was just shattered across Skynet's mainframe.
Wow. It hurt.
All right, well, let's jump away from Terminator before you die again. And let's run to Doctor Strange real quick.
We'll bitch about it later.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep it as brief as I can on Doctor Strange,
which is tough.
It's tough. I've actually got some Comic-Con swag to show off in a second while we're here. Rachel McAdams is rumored to be up for a Doctor Strange role.
Right.
The obvious choice being Clea.
Yep.
So I personally think that she's Clea.
Come on. She's gorgeous. Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny about that? She was offered the role of Pepper Potts and turned
it
down.
Wait, was she?
Yeah. Why did she turn it down?
Because it was like no one knew that
what
Iron
was
Man
gonna be.
Yeah, when Iron Man was going to rock out the last.
Yeah, that's
everyone
true.
Had Spider-Man.
Hey, guys, remember that guy that couldn't keep a job and Hallie McBeal? What if he is a superhero?
Right, exactly.
Be his girlfriend? John Favreau, the guy that did Swingers, is doing a $100 million movie. Please.
The guy who directed Elf was going to direct a new Marvel movie.
Yeah,
the last ones.
Elf was so
But what I'm saying. It's not a superhero movie.
Yeah.
And the last superhero movies that are fresh in our brain at that point was Amazing Spider-Man 3, or Spider-Man 3, rather, and X-Men 3.
Yeah.
And Wolverine Origins. It's just like,
yeah,
who the hell wants to be in another Marvel superheroes movie?
And I was excited about it before it came out because I was a fan already.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah. In fact, I'd interviewed Favreau about it for some Vince Vaughn comedy movie, and I was like, tell me about Iron Man. And afterward, he was like, how do you even know who that is? Is that because of the... No, seriously, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but I think
she'd
be great.
That's actually not what she said. She looked at him. She said, I will cut you.
All right, maybe I said that.
With my box cutter.
Yeah.
I have it in my pocket.
You never know when you need to open a box.
It's true. That and my lightsaber.
So Clea is Doctor Strange's girlfriend throughout.
She's also a badass in her own dimension.
Oh, she is. She is. She was introduced, I think, in Strange Tales 126 or one. I think it was 126.
Around there, it was the first Dormammu.
Yeah, it was
one
the first Dormammu. And she wasn't named until like later in the 130s, I think. She was just some mystery girl that Doctor Strange had a crush on.
Well, the idea was that in another dimension, Dormammu was essentially this devil warlord,
mm-hmm.
and Clea was one of the people fighting against her.
Him, yeah.
And she then became an on again, off again lover, and occasionally, like, sort of a partner in crime or an ally. There have been possible future stories where she inherits the mantle of Sorcerer mm-hmm. Supreme. You know,
I think there was one storyline when they were married or something. I don't think it was ever mainstream, but...
And then there was the animated movie where she's his first student as the epilogue. Yeah, so
there's the Straczynski run where she's kind of a badass student along with the Ancient One.
Right, right. And then there's also the live-action Doctor Strange movie where she's just that chick who gets in trouble and he has to save her.
Just that chick.
That movie is awful.
That movie is terrible.
That movie is spectacularly bad.
It's when magically bad.
When he's trained by the ancient sorcerer Linmer.
It is laughably bad. I've seen it at least four times.
I want to watch it again now.
Before we get too far away from it, Sam Mendes / and or George Miller for Black Panther.
Ooh.
Oh.
Really?
I think George Miller, because he was going to do the Justice League, I think him on that kind of that kind of scope would be incredible. Or Sam Mendes with his take on Bond. Those are my go-to.
I'd go for Miller.
I think those would be incredible, right?
I'm still crying that we don't have the George Miller.
Right? Because it was something special. But yeah, George Miller's Black Panther would be really cool.
That'd be fantastic.
What about George Miller doing a Ghost Rider on Netflix?
That would be sick.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. How do they keep screwing up Ghost Rider? We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. Anyway, so Clea, that's the chicken purple on your screen, if it's still up there. She's also a very powerful sorceress. She ends up being the leader of the Dark Dimension after she takes out... Well, Umar takes down Dormammu, I believe, and then Clea takes down Umar. Umar is her mother or her aunt. I know that they're related in some way. So anyway, she's a very powerful sorceress in her own way.
With a crazy fashion sense, apparently. Right?
I like it.
Look at that.
I kind of want to cosplay.
She puts coffee all over her pants. You can see the coffee. So anyway, that's the casting rumor
for
her.
Weird Ditko designs.
So that's the casting rumor. Nothing confirmed yet, but we do have confirmation that Tilda Swinton is indeed the Ancient One.
Ah, so cool.
I'm really excited about that.
I want her to play everything.
I know, she's so good.
There was
a rumor a while back
that she would play the Joker.
I would see that. I would watch that. That would be amazing. That would be interesting.
I'm sad that didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things to be said about with the Joker right now.
We'll get to that in 1 hour.
Yeah, we'll get to that when we get to our DC Marvel crossover it too. So anyway, she's. There are a lot of people who. Well, I don't know if it's a lot. There are a few people who are upset that they didn't get like an Asian or Tibetan descent actor to play it.
I think it's valid.
Yeah,
I think that's a very valid thing, yeah.
Yeah, representation thing is, I mean, that's a huge deal in general. The reason I guess this doesn't bother me is because Tilda Swinton plays pretty much everything. Like, she's a guy, she's a girl, I don't know. I do absolutely understand why that's an issue, and I have had issues with stuff like that before. But I think in this case it doesn't bother me as much.
Well, it doesn't bother me because at least, like, they did like the whole gender bending, like kind of gender casting sort of thing. And I'm happy about that. I think that's really cool. And just because she's playing the Ancient One doesn't mean that they're not going to have other people playing the Ancient
One.
Because the way that
that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I think body switching deal.
Yeah, I think she'll probably be like a major manifestation of the Ancient One. But I don't think she's going to be the. I really, honestly, don't think she's going to be the only manifestation.
There's also the thing too where if you cast an Asian, because I'm totally on board if someone has a problem, but the other side of that is it'd be very easy for that to become a trope or cliche
or
a lowest common denominator too, and then it's like some Charlie Chan BS, and you don't want that either.
Yeah,
you know,
I totally agree.
Yeah, the mystical kind of.
I care more about talent than. Yeah.
And she's a badass.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's really good.
Can I give you the quote that she said when she confirmed? She said, "I just really like the premise of this and the idea of playing this character. I'm a Marvel fan, and I think this particular world that Doctor Strange goes into is really, really, really exciting. The idea of playing the Ancient One is just really too tickling. I can't say no to that."
She's tickled, guys.
She's tickled.
Doubt her, go watch Only Lovers Left Alive, wherein she plays a very similar character and kills it.
What was the movie with George Clooney where she, I think, got a supporting actress?
Michael Clayton.
She was insane in that movie.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see
her. We saw Snowpiercer the other night, too.
Yeah?
She's crazy.
And wow.
Which, by the way, that's
Isn't
one of the craziest movies I've ever seen.
So bizarre.
Have you seen that?
You really have to.
It's just wacky.
You gotta check that out.
Captain America and the Ancient One together, of course.
That's so weird.
And The Thing, man.
And The Thing.
Oh, Jamie Bell's in it?
Yeah,
yes.
a little breath.
Yeah.
So moving on, we've got a Blade rumor out of Comic-Con that Wesley Snipes says he's in talks to bring back Blade with Marvel.
I hope so, man.
Yes.
He said, "I can break the story right now. Marvel and I, Wesley Snipes, have decided to have further conversations about doing another Blade. It's a topic of conversation. You know, it's inescapable."
It is inescapable. It has to happen.
Blade Trinity, wherein he left post-it notes because he didn't want to talk to the director and sign the Blade.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he's like, "I, Wesley Snipes."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious. I'm in.
I, you know, I
I question it a little bit.
He's a bit on the older side for starting a new Blade franchise.
Well, let me throw this out there. In October, they're releasing a new Blade series mm-hmm. where Blade goes and finds his daughter.
Ah.
And she becomes the new Blade.
Yep.
So I think
Old Man Blade.
Old Man Blade. I think that if they are actually in talks, which I actually kind of doubt a little bit. I hate to say that, but yeah. It feels like it could be Wesley Snipes.
Feels
like,
a lot of tax
self-aggrandizing.
Yeah. it could be for me, it's like he called Kevin Feige and left a message. Oh, we're in talks.
We're in talks.
We're in talks. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
I want it to be true.
I want it to be true, too.
I really do.
Because here's the deal. Blade, like the movies, like the, what was it, 95, 96 that the first Blade came out or something
that? Was
like
the
that?
First shot across the bow, man.
That
was
the
legit.
First. It was good.
Really good.
It was good. Like, I went back and watched it. It doesn't hold up very well now.
I like it still, personally.
It's okay.
I just played Trinity 2 days ago. That was a weird move, my part.
Yeah? Yeah.
Weird move.
But it was a good, like, hey, we're Marvel and we're doing this.
Yeah.
And we're...
And it was R-rated.
It was R-rated. It was great.
It was very 2000s.
It was a lot of fun.
Blade 1, 2, and 3 are the most time-stamped 2000 movies.
Absolutely.
Like, just black leather hallway fights. Like,
sunglasses in a warehouse.
Yeah, rock techno. It's so 2000s.
It's so black leather hallway fights.
The hallway thing in the 2000s was so strong. You could, like, show a hallway in 2000s and know
exactly. And Norman Reedus and Ron Perlman.
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's so 2000s. And the iPod shots in Blade Trinity were like, gotta make my playlist.
So there is the great line from Blade One: some blanks always have to ice skate uphill.
Yes. Yeah.
In the Secret Wars recently, where Blade met Howard the Duck, they met a duck version of Blade who stakes Dracula, the duck Dracula, and says some blanks gotta always ice skate uphill.
That so
I was like,
much.
No way.
I actually loved that. That's
so good.
I haven't read that comic yet.
We have to do some comic commentary at the end of the show because people have been committing, like, asking
to what?
For it. We have comic commentary at the end of the show because every all week people have been.
Oh, like, I know. We've got to figure that
so
out.
So much news.
Oh, before, keep going on Blade. I've got to show this off real quick.
So if they don't do Wesley Snipes, who do we like for Blade?
Oh, it's a good tangent, right? Oh.
I'm going to come to this camera over here and show
off. By the way, I can't stop looking over your shoulder at the comments.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Look at this, huh? Oh, I go this way, huh? Look at that, huh? There's a blank page, and then... Oh, look at all those beautiful toys!
So it's not really a book.
No, it's not an actual book. It's not an actual book. Magic, Alan. Jackass.
That's pretty impressive.
Sorry, I had to show that off.
I like it.
It's great.
It was great.
I had four friends tell me that they couldn't relax at Comic-Con until I had it.
I didn't buy anything.
Yeah, that's the only thing I got.
Nothing.
Yeah, so. Anyway, so Blade, we good?
Good.
Good? We happy? All right. Let's move on to television real quick, where we got a villain tease from San Diego Comic-Con on Agent Carter. One of the showrunners and writers, Tara Butters, said the antagonists, I will say, exist in Marvel Comics, a version of it. There's a group called Secret Empire, and there's something called the Dark Force, which Blackout, who was in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think it was like episode 3 or 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the first season, had the Dark Force in him, and it comes out of the Doctor Strange universe as well, so that's going to show up. So...
There are a few villains who tap into the Dark Force.
Yeah, they're quite a... I think Cloak...
Shroud, Cloak
taps into it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what's her name? She was related to Dr. Druid in some way.
Oh, okay.
Khloe Kardashian?
Yes, yes, Khloe Kardashian.
Exactly. Exactly.
What is happening?
Khloe Kardashian. like Shadow Woman, I think, is her name. Something like that. But I'm not familiar with Secret Empire at all. I think that's an older thing. Do you know
Secret
that?
Secret Empire, it started off as sort of a split-off from Hydra, in a way. And it was just... They fought Captain America. They're most known for, in the 70s, they were fighting Captain America and the X-Men. And then their leader, Number One, because they had like a council.
Yeah, they had like a council of nine or something like that.
Yeah, a council of nine. So they wore the robes that had a little number on them.
Sorry, ridiculous. I hope we have that.
And
now.
So
I
really Number One ran into the White House at one point to escape Captain America, was somehow able to get through all the security, and then went to the Oval Office, and Captain America saw him unmasked, and then the guy shot himself. And the very, very direct implication was that Number One had secretly been the president of the U.S., and it was supposed to emulate...
I remember that comic.
Right.
Oh,
because
wow.
This was following Nixon and that's in the scandal in the White House. They never actually said it was the president of the U.S. Nick Fury then commented on a high-ranking Washington official being number one. But the story was, like, in the White House, he shoots himself. Captain America is so shocked by the revelation of his identity that that's when he becomes Nomad for
right.
a while.
Oh,
and out of country.
Wow.
So, and then they kind of went away for a while. And then one of my first Spider-Man stories that I read was them coming back in Round Robin, the Sidekick's Revenge, where they actually resurrected Moon Knight's dead sidekick, Midnight, and turned him into a cyborg. And they were setting him loose and all this jazz. So they occasionally creep up, but they've also never been that.
They've never been
huge.
A big deal.
They've never been quite high.
Well, I kind of like that they're going deeper into things.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool because you know I sort of like the Game of Thrones thing. If you've read the books, you're like, I know what's coming. Well, not anymore, but used to.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice to have stuff where I'm like, I have to go look this up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Like that.
No, I love that. And the Doctor Strange stuff. Like that's why I was bringing up Dr. Druid earlier. Like I think that's how they're going to relate it. I really think because if they're doing the Secret Warriors thing in S.H.I.E.L.D., that's Sebastian Druid, who is the son to Dr. Druid.
Yeah.
So I think Agent Carter might have Dr. Druid in it, whereas Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will end up having Sebastian Druid. I think
it's a great way. I mean, when you have shows and movies in multiple time periods, it's a great way to connect them and give a sense of legacy.
Yeah, yeah, give them that sense of legacy and then introduce the whole Marvel Universe to like, hey, here's kind of an introduction to what Dr. Strange may be bringing.
I would really love to see some of the kookier Kirby and Ditko characters show up in Carter. Like, I would love to see Machine Man and Agent Carter with his telescopic
arms.
Inspector Gadget arms.
Oh.
And then you show him in S.H.I.E.L.D. He's still around, still looking awesome, but maybe now he's
still
more
purple.
Sarcastic. He's still purple.
You can still
but
see
now,
the gears.
Now he's gotten more salt, more sardonic with age, and so now he's more the Warren Ellis Machine Man.
Oh, jeez. Let's jump over to Agent. I love that, but we've got to keep moving because
speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. dub smash off is the coolest.
The dub smash off.
I just wanted
so
to throw
fun.
In.
I have not seen it yet.
The most recent one has a very special cameo that's amazing.
Really?
I haven't been able to see it yet.
It's fantastic.
I think that might be legitimately, not just fanishly, falling in love with Haley Atwell just based on the dub smash
course. I was thinking I'm falling in love with Chris Evans, and that's
okay. It's understandable.
I've been in deep love with him, but now at the dub smash, I'm like.
Hey. No, it's real.
I very rarely get celebrity crushes, but Haley Atwell, like,
oh yeah, she's
did you see her like showing up to and finding people in Agent Carter hats and saying hi to them?
I didn't.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's really cute.
And she's got the Doctor Who connection for me because she was in an Eighth Doctor audio play.
Was she really?
She was also in Pillars of the Earth, which was a really good miniseries.
Yes.
Speaking of Doctor Who, someone in the thread said Matt Smith for Moon Knight, and I like that.
I'm
throw it out there.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not
against it.
Patterson Joseph.
I want to see more Matt
Smith. No one knows who that is.
Ben
Foster. Not kidding. Actually, Ben Foster for Moon Knight would be great.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Oh, my God. Get out.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, Brittany's in the chat. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Hi, Brittany.
Oh, she's mad at me because I said that I have a celebrity crush on Haley Atwell.
Oh, yeah. I did wonder, actually, as you said that.
But may I also point out that Brittany Wallach has a crush on Haley Atwell?
Oh,
so
yeah.
We share that.
You can bond over it.
She says she's going to kill this person I have a crush on, and it's her crush, too. So
oh, she can't kill her then.
She can't kill her then.
Nope.
I know that. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. real quick
just
news.
Spinning out of control.
I know, right? Welcome to my life, Jeffrey. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Inhuman Lash will be one of the big bad guys for this next season.
Right.
He's a more recent creation. That's him right there. I think from Inhumans number one, written by Charles Soule. And he's kind of hunting down Inhumans who he believes do not deserve the gift of Terrigenesis.
Well, because in the traditional Inhuman society, not everyone got Terrigenesis.
Exactly.
You had to basically apply for it. And
then you had to prove yourself worthy.
They had to look through your family lineage. They had to say what's their status in our society. And like, yes, you are worthy
because
of
it was a social
turning
thing.
Into a bulldog.
Yeah, it was a social thing because like
it's a hierarchy.
It's a hierarchy, but it's also the Terrigenesis like helps their culture out. It's like, oh, you know what? There was almost a sort of mystical connection to the city of Adelan, where it'd be like, Adelan actually needs more people who can fly. So, oh, guess what? You can fly. Like there was a sense of like civic duty to it and all this other stuff too.
Yeah.
So when
we need more Tritons,
yeah. Yeah, we need more people who can go under sea and breathe. Yeah.
You look like you don't like your voice. Why don't you want to become a weapon? Come on now.
Come on, Black Bolt.
Blackagar Bolt again? Too long a name. We're calling you Black Bolt.
We're just summing it all together.
What? Nothing? You have nothing to say?
Sorry, that's your
sign
name.
Language. Stop just talking to Medusa.
That'd be so funny if he actually hated the fact that everyone nicknamed him Black Bolt.
He couldn't say anything.
You're all dicks. If only I could express this.
Thanks for the tuning fork. Now Gene Simmons rips me off, and here I am, quiet and poor.
I don't know why Marvel doesn't let us write these movies.
I know, right? Jeez, we're
really
so good.
Drama
so
right
good.
Now. This is so good.
So anyway, in the Inhumans, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it sounds like he's going to be hunting down. Which makes me think, like, are there other Inhumans who have gone through the process, or is a bomb set off in the episode one, like a Terra Genesis bomb, like what happened in the comics? So, and then he ends up hunting them down. Something like that. I don't know. So anyway, let's run over to big Sony news, where Marissa Tomei has been cast as Aunt May.
What?
I like the collective "What's going on with reality, guys?" reaction.
This actually happened the Thursday before Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So it's a little old.
I'm really torn.
And somebody commented, or I wrote a thing on my website talking about it's her last. Can we curse on this?
We can say everything but that word.
Last bleepable day. Apparently, it is Marissa Tomei.
There's an Amy Schumer sketch that you need to see that relates directly to this.
Yeah. She's a little young, don't you think? A little bit?
Aunt Bay.
And doesn't that go... That's great. doesn't that go to character? I mean, a big part of it is that he's so protective of her because she's frail and sickly, they don't want
to have her be 70 at the outset, but in the first 20 years of Spider-Man, it was like, my aunt's heart condition. She can never find out I'm Spider-Man. If she has a heart condition, she's eaten very poorly.
Yeah.
She's done something wrong.
I think what they're taking cues directly out of the Ultimate Universe where
she wasn't that young. She wasn't young
in the Ultimate Universe.
She was gray haired.
She just had better hair.
Yeah. Marissa Tomei is not that much older than I am.
I think she's a fantastic actress.
She was so good and so naked in The Wrestler, and I don't feel comfortable thinking about May that way. Those are my problems with it.
So this is about mental scarring.
This is about me being like, oh god, Rule 34 makes sense now.
It's like when Marvel put out that comic where Aunt May and Peter's mom were like young 20-somethings having fun, and it just felt wrong.
That
was a weird comic.
I don't need that to be canon in my brain.
No, and it's not. But this sort of bothers me, like how in comics, in a lot of comics, especially with the reboots happening in comics and film adaptations, there is this constant and growing need to de-age characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can't have Superman be 35 and with 10 years of experience behind him. We have to have him be once again 28 and only with, you know, five years of experience behind him. And they keep putting Spider-Man back in high school because we can't deal with him already in college with some
years.
Of course we can. And it's just worrying me. I actually had this conversation with Greg Weissman when Amazing Spider-Man was cast. And we were like, does not even Aunt May can be old?
I think it makes sense for, like, if she looked 50... But Marissa Tomei doesn't even look 50. She's like a good-looking mid-30s woman. Like, I just don't... I see Vanessa Redgrave or someone of that ilk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I see someone that has, like, this Shakespearean poise. And
Ellen
like,
Mirren.
You know what I mean? Something with some... Mm-hmm. She's hot.
And the other thing is, you know, casting an older actress plays an important part. It goes to story and character where you need someone that's matronly, because there is nobody else like that in his life.
Yeah.
And the fact that he loses his parents, like, you need that parental anchor. You need that Obi-Wan in the mythology. You need someone older to anchor
him. And if it's a parent figure instead of an older figure, it feels slightly off to me, personally.
There are so few of those older, like, grandfatherly, grandmotherly type characters in the comics universe, much less the Marvel universe. So it actually made Aunt May sort of unique. You didn't see Reed Richards calling up his grandma
exactly.
and making sure like, it was a unique different. Status. Now she's more like so many other superheroes' parents. And if you're making any character less unique to me, then I lose interest.
I will say this. I mean, Marissa Tomei is what? She's in her 50s, right?
She's 50.
Is she?
I think she's in her 50s.
I thought she was younger than that. She looks younger than that.
She looks younger. 50 makes
sense. She is a little bit older than me then.
I will say this. I'm on board. I think she's an amazing actress.
Oh, that's true.
I think she's in her 50s. Like, when I was younger, my favorite aunt was like enter.
No, it makes sense,
like,
as far as genetics.
Late 30s, early 40s,
just,
and then, like,
she's just,
you know, so, like, no,
younger looking.
But she can probably play older. Like, she can play, like, that matronly, like, grandmotherly sort of character.
They'll have her for 9 movies like they want.
Exactly. So, like, I'm on board. I think she's a great choice.
I'm on board. I just think it's an interesting thing
and
to be attracted to.
I think makeup can do a lot of things, and I agree with you.
But see, that's the thing about not casting older women in Hollywood and taking younger women and aging them.
I don't disagree, but I don't think that they're going to age her. I'm just mean, like, as a character.
I'm
like
Diane Lane in Man of Steel. That's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, yeah. Diane Lane plays Superman's mom,
that's
Robert Downey Jr., who's
the
same age.
She's 50. Okay. Yeah. I had no idea she was 50.
Yeah, like Robert Downey Jr., who's the same age as Diane Lane, doesn't play someone's dad. He plays Iron Man.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, and even though my dad is very, very into Diane Lane, I still, like, you look at her and you don't think that, like...
You don't think, like, mother or, like, older mother.
Yeah.
There was also something really nice about both the Kents and Aunt May, that they were both in a position where they weren't going to have children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so having a child, whether it's the adopted alien or the adopted nephew, was really not in the plan.
Yeah.
And there was... Growing up, like, we were too old for this. We weren't going to do all this.
I'm not upset about the age or the casting. I'm upset about the dynamic we lose by
the choice.
Exactly.
Which is what it's indicative of.
But I don't... I just to close this off, I don't think that we've lost that dynamic. I think it's possible
but I don't think we will.
I'm still on board.
I want to love everything.
Yeah, I know, right?
I do.
Moving on to Fox. We've got so much to talk about with Fox. So we're going to spend the rest of the show talking about Fox with a quick wrap-up of Netflix at the end. Fantastic Four trailer came out. Josh Trank, first of all, a couple weeks ago, promised that there's an epic slugfest in the movie at some point. He said the audience should expect an epic, massive, huge, multi-powered slugfest. This movie is big. There's a lot of stakes. The trailer that they released at Comic-Con and then later released online certainly seems to promise that we have a gigantic, a much bigger movie than all the other trailers have led us to believe. I don't know. Like, I've been on board, then I've been not on board, then I've been on board again. I'm still going to go see this movie. I think the trailer... I don't know.
I
was excited about
the last one.
I did. And I've been on board for it. I don't know what... There was something about this trailer that didn't... It almost, like, kind of, like, 2 steps forward, 1 step back for me.
It's like they're trying too hard.
A little bit.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, considering the past versions of...
Here's where, like, I kind of got lost. There's that shot in the trailer where it, like, it looks like the forest is getting kind of sucked up into a portal of some sort. That's when I was like, oh, this is a much bigger movie than I thought. And then I immediately thought about Rise of Silver Surfer, where it seemed like this very similar thing happened. I was like, oh no, please don't do Rise of Silver Surfer.
Don't do that.
I'm still on board. I'm still gonna go see it opening night. I'm still excited about it. We say all of this because I know Coy has some exceptional opinions.
I was much, much more excited before this trailer, and I found out the Thing sounded 12.
The Thing sounds 12 and he still doesn't
wear pants. I love Jamie Bell. He's a very, very talented man. I think he's an incredible actor, but the choice of voice, not... Like, you've got gravel vocal cords, bruh. Like, why would you not sound... Like, that would affect a voice.
And he's literally made of rock.
When you see him talking, it just sounds like, hey, guys. And it doesn't... Like, Jamie Bell is really good, and they cast him for a reason. Why doesn't the Thing have blue eyes? Why doesn't the Thing have pants? Pants are a big concern for
that. That gets a little weird.
It's a weird, like... And I just... I don't... The dynamic of the tone has changed with every trailer.
Yeah.
And this tone feels like a hodgepodge of all the trailers, which worries me that with the number of reshoots we know it went through, the movie's going to feel like 2 hours of throwing scripts at the wall. And I'm just really worried that that trailer is our longest trailer, it's our biggest trailer, and it looks the most hodgepodge, and we've heard it's hodgepodge. So I'm going to see it, but I'm now less excited.
Why is it so difficult to do this movie?
It's not.
and Doom? What is Doom's, like, techno face
thing?
Can't
it just be a guy? He's the archetype for Darth Vader, for God's sake.
The coolest thing about Doom is his mask. Why can't you do that?
I think they have a hard time accepting that anybody would ever willingly wear that mask.
People will.
I would.
Have they been to Comic-Con? People wear that mask. They are that mask.
No, I'll wear a damn Doom mask for an entire movie.
No, not the actors.
Awesome.
I think...
He's an egotist.
I agree. I think that the filmmakers... Here's my thought. The filmmakers believe that no one in reality, which is what they're trying to do really hard with this movie, is that no one in reality would ever willingly wear that mask around on a daily basis. Would I wear it to Comic-Con? Sure, it's fine. Would I wear it to shoot the movie in? Absolutely. But would Ryan McKee as a narcissistic villain be like, I'm going to wear this mask now.
But I think wouldn't that's you, what they, though?
I'm not saying that I wouldn't. I'm saying that the filmmakers behind the movie think that he would, or think that anyone ever would.
But even in the comics, he doesn't. He only wears it out with people. When he's in his castle, surrounded by robots of his own creation,
yeah, he lets his off,
which is a great nod to the psychology of the character. Yeah. You can infer so much from a scene like that. That would be wonderful to see.
Yeah, so
I liked it better the first time when it was called The Incredibles. Because it's funny, a movie that's essentially like a spin-off of the mythology is the best version of the mythology.
Yeah, it is.
Really is. It's, you know, so good.
I love that movie.
It's like when Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull came out. I thought it was a really weird situation where I was longing for The Mummy, which was a ripoff of the first Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I just
love, though, that in the trailers when they're displaying their powers, there's such this strange balance of, like, watch the Thing take on tanks. Watch the Human Torch fly. Watch Invisible Woman throw force fields. Watch Mr. Fantastic cross a room slightly faster. Not like a very faster, but like faster than on feet. Watch him stretch to cross that room.
He's very smart, though. Remember his smarts?
There's only one other scene where he uses his power, and it's when he's like, he's basically Dalsum from the Street Fighter, where he like
rolls
over, like hits him with
yoga fire.
Yeah,
I was like, well, that'd be other
Like, I'm punching you now.
Can't wait to watch that. All right,
I want to be more excited.
We've actually got to wrap up in 10 minutes to make room for our Comic Con trailer show. Right. So, Deadpool.
So now this is the opposite side of the spectrum.
What?
Also at Fox, I'm not just being studioist. Fox, yeah. Deadpool, Fantastic Four. I'm not being studioist.
Yeah.
Deadpool, I mean, guys, they made Deadpool. They did that thing that was never going to happen. I can't even words because excited. Colossus looks like Colossus, which is exciting.
Well, and here's the thing is like, they're not releasing the trailer officially online.
Like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, because they still want to clean up some of the shots.
Which is so cool.
Like,
imagine that, not releasing it.
Yeah,
huh.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. So, let the low quality exist. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Whatever.
We've all seen it, right?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I saw it at Hall H. Like, I got into the panel and saw it.
Yeah. I saw little bits of it. I didn't see the... But I know my understanding is a big part of it. The freeway chase was part of the concept they did.
Which I thought was smart to show again. To be like, hey, we know that worked for us. Let's do it.
Yeah. And they extended it a lot. Yeah. It's great.
Where one of the studio guys released this thing where he was kind of scolding the fans for, the nerve of you to release this. And first of all, dude,
that's how Deadpool got made.
The movie only got made because
of it.
Fans were so committed and kind of went overboard to do it in the first place. So, and don't try to pull this goodwill for fans like you care. You're
Warner Brothers said the same thing with Suicide Squad. They're like, we feel that there's a breach of trust between us and our fans. Like, you trust with your 6,000 closest friends.
You made Superman
met.
Returns. Yeah. There's the breach of trust. Shut up.
I really enjoyed that the Deadpool panel was like, the entire panel was very tongue in cheek. There was a horse joke theme going throughout.
Oh my God,
whole thing was very
so
R-rated,
funny.
And I
it
really
was so funny.
Like the pre-marketing with his Twitter's been incredible. All the images they've released have been incredible. The Comic-Con photo of him in the freaking poncho was incredible. It's been so consistent, and the trailer I liked 80% of. I got to admit, there are some parts of the trailer I didn't love, but it's a trailer.
There were a couple jokes that devolved more into frat humor and weird homophobic.
And
frat
I can't
humor.
Like
but 80% of it 80%, was really solid,
and that's
right.
more than I can say for a lot.
Oh, yeah. and I still want to see it.
Yeah,
I
want
to see it.
So.
Just the shot of him getting shot and then like looking through the bullet hole in his arm and going, son of a bitch.
Amazing.
Like, you just know
it's
that
Deadpool.
He's going to go kick that guy's ass.
And like
you can't wait.
The conversation with him and TJ Miller, like most of the jokes hit. I really enjoy the humor they're going for. And I.
You look like an avocado had sex with an older
like
avocado.
So good.
That's so funny. It's so good.
So, I mean, I'm really happy they did it.
And like the thing that got me the most excited was the acrobatics. Like,
yeah, it looks
he like flies
shot it.
Through the air. Like, how did he do that? And then he like shoots like three guys with one bullet. Like that was, it's stellar. It's
I'm really
excited. And like seeing in Hall H, the whole audience actually stood up and one more time.
Yeah, they played
one
it
more
again.
Time. And then Hardwick was like, "I've got a microphone. Play it one more time. That's my power. You have to do it now."
And that's
like,
the
best
we've seen.
This
is the second round. I'm so glad that happened.
So anyway, can't wait for it. It'll be out in a couple weeks. X-Men Apocalypse. We had our first look at some stuff today. I don't know if those pictures are up yet, but we've got this. I think I'm excited for Apocalypse, I will say, but he does, I have to agree with everyone, he does look like a Power Ranger villain.
Yeah, he does.
This is one of those things where I really didn't want to see a direct adaptation of this, of the costume in the comic.
I would have been fine if it was a little less
cartoony. Well, I mean, the X-Men movies are known for saying, F the comic costumes, we'll do our own.
Yeah. Joking about them, even.
Right, right. We'll do our own style that looks more like a gritty sci-fi counterterrorism film. Yeah. I was really expecting something weird and culty for Apocalypse, and he's a little too close to the source material.
He's gray with blue lips, and for some reason he's purple-blue, and I also don't understand why he looks like a derpy Ronin. Like
he looks like a derpy Ronin.
Ronin has some minor health defect. Like, you know, it just doesn't.
I don't know why I didn't think of that. He really does.
Yeah, and
I
like
wasn't
even
cool
the cowl
enough for Mass Effect. I'm here now.
And in fact, it looks like he even has the A on the belt.
Which, come on.
Oh my God, does he?
And Olivia Munn looks. Right. I mean, that's another thing. Like, it just looks kind of silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that they're going for it big and they're going for it bold, but I don't like that they didn't make him gray. Like
Apocalypse should not have a letter A on his belt.
I love that he's got the tubes coming out of his head.
Mm. There's a lot to it. I mean,
There's a lot to be excited about. The
that
trailer,
mohawk, though.
I like the way
that
Storm
mohawk,
looks.
Oh, man. Yep. I am so excited for the mohawk.
If Ivan News was in the movie, I'd be more excited.
I'm so excited for Other Storm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Finally a good Storm.
God.
Yes. And I don't think Psylocke looks bad.
I don't dig it.
Her costume's like half really sexy cosplay, half movie. And that's what's
It's very like Party City to me.
Right? Yeah, it does. It totally does.
It's almost.
Yeah.
Also another case of maybe don't translate the comic book costume. Maybe
not. It kind of just looks like, okay, when you're putting on that outfit, like, you're making a decision.
Yeah.
And it's not a good one.
Yeah.
It's still not a good one.
But the trailer, I thought, looked really good.
Yeah, the trailer's incredible. And they only shot for 5 weeks.
And to be fair, there's no effects in there at all.
It's just...
The only effect is Magneto pulling Professor X's chair towards him. So,
Which is just being nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's not really a use of power. It's like, come here.
You guys all know my thoughts on Singer. I thought the trailer was as strong as the Deadpool trailer, so I'm very happy with Fox right now.
Like, yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too.
The trailer.
Oh, before we move on from Fox, the Deadpool joke with Green Lantern.
Oh, that's so funny.
That was the best thing.
That was really
funny. Please don't make my super suit green.
Or animated.
Or animated.
So I just need to...
It got a giant laugh
that
in the
got
hall
me
too,
into Deadpool. Yeah. That was a great way to open.
So with X-Men Apocalypse, we know that the Horsemen are Magneto, Psylocke, Storm, and Angel.
Yeah.
Angel in the trailer, at least from what I saw, looks like he's got the metal wings and everything, so I think it might be Archangel.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I wish we had time to go over it, but their Entertainment Weekly released today a big rundown of everything that's
going on.
We'll talk about it next week. But go check out Entertainment Weekly if you're listening to our podcast. Go check that out right now. And they've got a great rundown of what to expect.
And Nightcrawler looks pretty sweet. I don't like that he's not fuzzy, but he looks pretty cool.
I agree.
I need fun.
So Netflix, real quick, we've got Daredevil Season 2. We've got the first picks of that coming up. We've also got Elektra casting to talk about. So just some quick shots.
Oh, look, a blind guy.
Yeah, it's a blind guy with.
Yeah, there's not really. They don't really reveal too much in these
pictures.
Don't
really reveal too much, but it's like, hey, we're filming, and that's kind of fun.
And that's awesome.
Also, last week, Elodie Young was cast as Elektra.
Yeah.
She was in G.I. Joe. She's already been a red-clad assassin ninja. Just,
yeah,
I know.
I'm on board.
I think that's cool casting. Right.
And
she looks ethnic and she looks fierce, and that woman can take care of herself.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm in.
That one image sells me. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, on board.
If I'm sold after an image, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on board. Jessica Jones, we've got pictures of a Luke Cage on fire. Have you guys seen those?
Yes, I have.
Pretty cool.
That's really cool.
That's like, actually unrelated to filming. That was just like a really weird
thing.
He had a bad day.
The fondue fell over. It was a nasty
candle accident.
I just love that, like, we know that, like, he's already got, like, bulletproof skin, but, like, he's also got fireproof skin, and that's a really cool kind of revelation
to
have.
Yeah.
And, you know, that image just right there, like, I'm
so
sold.
Cool.
I can't wait to see the show just from that image.
Yeah.
I really want Lexi Alexander to direct an episode if it's not the Punisher.
Punisher
Warzone, that was a wild time.
Yes. All right. We're going to move on to our fans real quick. Shout-outs to Jamie Rodriguez, Brian Yetman, Adrian Shawcraft, Sean Burt, Michael Neville, and El Machas. So, I tried to get as many as I could in the last minute. Meredith would usually do that, but she's out with techno-organic virus, as we know. So, I'm sorry that I can't do much of it. Oh, Brian Yetman wanted a sexy shout-out. Koi or Jenna, do you want to give
Jenna's
a sexy...
Jenna's got to find a birthday. Sexy shout-out.
Sexy shout-out?
Just give a sexy shout-out to Brian Yetman.
For his birthday?
No, just he wants a sexy shout-out.
Hi, Brian Yetman.
Oh, great. Well done. Do you want to try that now, Jeffrey?
Hi, Brian.
That's just creepy.
Oh, my God.
That's sexy creepy.
I kind of want to leave now.
I just roofied Matt D.
Oh, my God. That is sexy.
I have conflicted feelings now. This is really bizarre.
As well Coy, you should,
Coy,
woman.
Coy, we got to run. We got
to
go.
Someone's birthday was today, and I wanted to shout them out, but I can't find it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Someone who is your birthday today, happy birthday.
Happy
we got to go.
Happy birthday.
Jamie Rod, I found you.
Jamie Rod.
Happy
yes,
birthday,
happy birthday,
Jamie Rod.
Happy birthday.
iTunes shout-outs, guys. This was once every week they get better. This was my favorite week of iTunes shout-outs.
We may have to continue next week.
Jake Odinson. 080969 Sad Aaron D Spoons J Somriton Kenny 10728 scrolling K Dalton 290. My favorite review of all time came from WAFC Studios, which I sent to you.
Yeah.
You are a gentleman and a scholar. Thank you. You literally spelled out what we do right, what we do wrong. You wrote a paragraph. Thanks for being sexy.
Thank you.
Darth Zero, Dare Imagine, Bacon Forever, Doughboy 129, Fox X Monk 35, and El Drodo. Thanks,
El
guys.
Drodo.
All those were incredible.
Don't dare
star,
El Drodo.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So, sorry we've got to cut it short, but we've got our San Diego Comic Con big spectacular coming up in like a few minutes. It's us versus the DC show on who may have won Comic-Con.
Before I get negative with the DC guys, I want to say that I'm really excited that X-Men are doing crazy elaborate costumes. I just wish they were slightly different, but overall I'm very excited. 90%. This was a somewhat negative way to handle Fox, but go Fox.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it next week. Jenna, do you have anything you want to say before we take off?
I'm really tired from Comic-Con.
Okay, Jeffrey.
I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you really, really bad.
I hate you so bad.
Is that what you wanted to say, Alan?
No,
you hate Jeffrey?
I thought it was a lame line. yeah, I loved Comic-Con. I had a great time. Check out the new Crazy Six of Geeks on iTunes. A new episode is up today. Later.
All right, cool.
Spider-Man and Punisher are doing a movie together, completely separate. That's really exciting.
I know, that's really exciting.
That's really cool. All I have to say about life.
That's our show. We've got Wizard World Conventions in Richmond, Chicago, and San Jose. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on iTunes. Also find us on Facebook, / Marvel News Show, or on Twitter, @ Marvel News PTN. That's our show. Thank you, everybody.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye,
from producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.